But, and then this happened. I'm out. Quit.
I didn't notice. Did you get totally?
I have been being stomped on constantly.
You were the fucking one who drove me over the edge.
What?
Yeah.
When?
Hold on.
Hey, I told Jeremy people, we weren't going to your wedding. I was so, angry.
I had flying trolls and I went to completely unoccupied territories and then I went into decline and then my dwarves went to like two spots. How did that drive you over the edge?
Tim, I had three gypsy spots.
Tim hit one.
You hit the other.
Was that with my dwarves?
It was with something.
No, the orcs came in and dropped like 10 guys each on your only two spots.
Do you have a dragon?
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was the only place I could get to two mines.
Oh.
It was the only place I could get to two mines.
Well, I was like, okay, so my best turn that I could have had was 9 points, and now my best turn that I could have on round four is a 6.
I didn't care who was there. I just went for those 2 mines because dwarves suck.
The way that game's going, Katie, the computer playing you will probably beat my score. I won 2 in a row, and I'm being punished by karma in the arm.
Ditto, I won the first 2. You guys invited me to, and I'm like, yeah, this is not going to keep going. And it's last.
I feel like going in decline, looking at your race, and going, oh, I have 5 awful choices.
Yeah,
I guess I'll sit in the corner.
Well, that's why I took the gypsies, because I took the white ladies, and everyone just like came in on my white ladies, which are sucky to begin with, by the way. It was so angry about that.
I finally saw cursed white ladies a few games ago. The person, they picked them, and that was their turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they had 2 tokens.
Yeah, they literally can't even do anything.
They tried to roll on something and failed, and they failed. And the next turn, they went into decline with 0 people.
Yeah, that's cursed white ladies for you.
So anyway, I had white ladies, and I declined with them after everyone came in on my white ladies. And so I was like, well, the gypsies is the only good thing left. And then my gypsies were attacked. And I was like, well, this is just bullshit.
She was like, I had 3 gypsy territories, and 2 of them got taken. I was like, well that's fine, because you're in your decline race, right? She's like, no, that's my active race.
And then, and I don't know what's up Tim's butt, by the way. I wanted to stab in the fucking face. Because he is the one who came in on my white ladies, and he's also the other one who came in on my gypsies.
It's because he's the orcs?
I have no idea who he was. He was Tim.
I was so confused by the bivouacking orcs. Like, he got the race, and he's like, all right, I can come in anywhere. I'll drop 5 people on this 3 stack, and then 6 people on the 4 stack next to it. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I am not winning this game. Like, could have gone is anywhere. Did he accidentally put a 1? Like, I just got the 1 for the entire round out of 10. Like,
yeah, Nathan and you're having a good game, and
I am having a good game.
Tim's having I can't tell if Tim is having a good one or was the other guy, Billy.
Tim basically skipped a turn by just raffle stomping your gypsies because his orcs had like a 3-point turn a 4-point turn because all they did was take 2 territories from you and that was it.
Right. Well, and my gypsies were like in stacks of 3. Like it was no one's gonna attack my gypsies. Like it'll be cool. They might attack my white ladies, but whatever.
You can't. You can
attack them. Not in decline.
They're immune to everything when they're in decline.
That's supposed to be their advantage.
Nothing can happen to them when they're in decline. They're there forever.
Oh, I thought that they were only immune to special abilities.
Nope. Everything. No. They're immune to everything.
Oh.
Which makes... They suck because they only have a few tokens, but if you can place them and like make a wall and then decline and then your new race comes like south of the wall so people north of the wall can't get to you and stuff, you can kind of use them. They still suck. But that's the closest they come to being usable.
Well, either way, I was so angry. I almost threw my iPad.
She was so mad.
Pull the Brian.
I was laughing.
Only mine's not insured for anything. Like, I would have just been out of
I have iPad. One more. I have one more break. I have one more $50 penalty break. I can smash the fuck out of it and only pay $50. And that's going to happen the next year.
Oh, that will happen, knowing you.
I don't know. I'll come in. I dropped it. It's going to be like in 4 pieces. There's a hammer stuck through it. It fell on a hammer. There's $50.
There's a 1 in a million shot, Doc.
I couldn't help it.
But yeah, I was so angry. I think I yelled at you for like 10 minutes.
You were really mad. I remember.
Tim got me so mad at Agricola. I'm like, I'm done with playing it. Like, congratulations. You won Agricola.
All future games of it.
Here's your token of Agricola. Now you never get to play it again because I'm done with it.
Uninstall.
I kept it only because the captain has it. I might play some games with him.
Yeah, that's
fine. But I'm done with Tim. Like, he's penalized.
So angry.
It's
anyway,
fun when games can give you that much
range.
What
is this, 85, 83?
This is 83.
83.
Welcome.
Welcome to episode 83 of Crippled System. I'm Jeremy, Valiant418 on the forums.
You know, when this podcast hits 88 episodes, you're going to see some serious shit.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Nailed it.
Why?
Oh, my God.
That's it.
So, Katie, there's this movie. It starts some famous people. It's called Back to the Future.
Yeah, because you have to get up to...
When this baby hits 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some serious shit. That's what Doc says.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
Doc Brown doesn't... That's his name, Doc Brown, right?
Yeah, Doc Brown.
Nailed it.
He doesn't curse.
Not on in the basic cable version of watching it.
In the 80s, shit was not a swear word. It was acceptable, a use word.
That's actually probably true, because The Last Unicorn, they swear in that movie all the time.
They do.
Until PG-rated movies had a lot of swearing until they got PG-13, and they're like, well, we got to stop swearing in PGs.
Yeah,
that is true.
We have to be reasonable.
Back when PG-13 was basically a skin flick.
I used to know what the first PG-13 movie was.
I thought it was either Poltergeist or Raised. I think Temple of Doom.
I think it's
was
Temple
the
Doom.
Big issue. I think it's PG, but that really caused a lot of the uproar.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Why, they tore out someone's heart?
It was Temple of Doom was
this
PG.
This is too hard for PG, but it's not hard enough for R, so they decided they needed that
middle
in the middle.
Because Poltergeist is PG, and Poltergeist is pretty freaking hardcore too.
Yeah,
Poltergeist is that's.
Yeah. I never understood why they didn't just leave the house. Like, it started, like, as soon as weird, like, you watch those shows where, like, weird stuff starts to happen in the house, and just leave all your crap and go.
Well, the excuse in Poltergeist is there's a point in Poltergeist where the little girl gets kidnapped by the ghosts.
Well,
so, there, in general, you're right, but I think in Poltergeist it hadn't gotten really super crazy until that point, and they're like, well, shit, now we're stuck here. And then a lot of movies nowadays, they try to, like, the Paranormal Activity movies, they try to excuse it with, like, oh, the house isn't haunted, the people are haunted, so even if they move, the haunting will follow them. That's the explanation du jour for that.
Or, like, I saw, there used to be a show on TLC called Infested, and this one house was infested with a bunch of snakes, and, like, the water tasted funny because it was full of snake urine, and... They were like, well, we couldn't leave because, you know, we had this mortgage on the house. And I was like, yes, you can. You just leave. You go to the bank. You say, I'm not paying my mortgage anymore.
And you deal with the repercussions.
And you deal with the repercussions. Like, you're not going to drink snake piss because you have a mortgage. That's dumb. Especially because it was sold under false pretenses.
On the flip side, if you go on a Joe Rogan show, you can drink snake piss to earn the money to buy a house. You think about it, is kind of the same thing.
Kind of karmic.
Only in one, you own the house, and the other, you're drinking snake piss and the bank still owns it.
That is less good.
So, less good for you. Because you can probably even go back and sue the original person who sold it, because then they found out that it was like a known problem with this house. And they were still just like, well, I guess we have to deal with it. No, you sue the person who sold you the house. Like,
Even there's some states that have like a, you know, if you do like as is and stuff like that for houses and cars, like you're screwed. But even that's not 100%. Like, it's worth looking into, because if it's maliciously, like if they know and they're maliciously hiding stuff, they're not protected by the no lemon law.
Well, correct. And how would you like? How would you find a bunch of snakes until? Because it took them a couple months to figure it out.
Right.
Anyway. You leave. That's the answer. That's always the answer. You just leave. Like, stuff is just not worth it.
Thank God they didn't make Poltergeist for modern times, because the Poltergeist 2 would have just been all about litigation.
Yes.
And them suing the original developers for building the house on an Indian burial ground. Yeah.
Well, that's what Ghostbusters 2 was all based on.
And then we wouldn't have had the awesome scene of the creepy old preacher guy sitting outside the house just telling the kids to let me in. Oh, that part of the movie freaked me out.
The tequila thing haunted me. No lie, I know I've told this anecdote to some of you before, but I was way too young, and I saw that scene like on cable at like 2 a.m. when I shouldn't have been awake. And I just see this guy, he's drinking, and he swallows something, and then he vomits up a monster. And so for literally like the next 8 years of my life, I filtered my orange juice through a sieve because I was terrified of the pulp. Like, from the age of like 5 until 13, I filtered my orange juice through a sieve.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I saw the movie Ernest Scared Stupid.
Great movie. Meak.
And I was scared to death in my grandma's house, the upstairs, when I was by myself, so I always went to bed with a cup of milk.
Yeah, the milk, like, it protects against trolls.
Yeah, until I was like way too old to be doing that.
I just dropped an Ernest Scared Stupid reference as a valid film discussion a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Because we saw Maleficent, and a buddy of mine was talking about how, spoilers, in Maleficent, Sleeping Beauty gets woken up with true love's kiss, but it's not a dude, it's Maleficent because she has a mother's love, and that's true love.
Which, side note, by the way, a lot of fairy tales have been taking that angle lately. Yeah. Like, it's not... It's becoming not like a...
Not a sexual love. Like, true love can have, you know, other meanings.
Right. But it's becoming like, the first couple of times, it was like, oh, that's an interesting take. And it's becoming not an interesting take anymore.
But anyway, my buddy's like, that's stupid. I don't believe it. That's bullshit. And I'm like, hey, it worked in Ernest Scared Stupid. Where a mother's love was the power necessary to defeat the troll.
That's true.
And I stand by that. Anything that's true in an Ernest movie is true in life.
It's true in real life.
It's true somewhere.
Ernest goes to jail.
I'm still waiting for the next Ernest movie.
Such a good film.
Ernest goes to jail.
Ernest goes to jail. Such a good film.
Ernest Goes to Heaven would be the next Ernest movie. When he died, there was a full-page article in the Capital Times here in Madison talking about Jim Varney. He's this great actor. Don't just remember him for Ernest. He did all this other stuff. He did all the stage stuff. He did all this voice acting work. Don't just remember him for Ernest, guys. For reals, yo. There's so much more to Jim Varney. And right in the middle of the fucking article, the picture they had of Jim Varney was him just Ernesting it up as much as he possibly could. And I'm like... Did you talk to each other when you put the picture into the article?
You know the guy who wrote it was like, son of a bitch.
You know he was.
He's like, he just like punched someone in the face that thing and got fired from his job.
Anywho, this is Katie Badhorse on the forums.
Longest intro ever. We're back together for the first time in like a fortnight. Yeah.
It has been a while.
Since you started this whole like planning a wedding thing, I haven't seen you in probably like a month.
I've been at every Wednesday and every podcast except for last week, hasn't changed anything.
Haven't been at Wednesday. I haven't seen you at Wednesdays, and I...
Well, because you come early, and then he comes late, like a lot of
And then I miss a lot of podcasts because I was doing all my final stuff.
That's true.
Yeah, the finals.
But we're together at last.
We had people say that the last week's podcast was our best ever.
That's true.
Well,
and also
somebody
said it was missing a certain characteristic.
Yeah.
A certain nasally tone. You're welcome.
We thought it was weird without Nathan, because I mean he's like our crazy racist grandpa.
That is true.
When he's a great guy to be around, but when you miss him, you're like, where's that crazy guy? You miss it. You miss
how we feel about
it. It's not that we miss him, we just want to know where he is.
Just looking behind yourself. Oh God.
True.
And always sad when he's not there.
Just like we'll be sad when you're not here for 2 weeks.
Two and a half weeks?
You'll be gone that long?
I will not be back to the 13th or 12th of September.
Jeez.
I will be I probably will be functional until like the 14th of September.
Yeah, that's probably
I'm going to get back and just like have to sleep for a day and a half.
Let's take lots of pictures.
I will. I'm going to document my travels in Jamaica, and it's going to enrage people. I cannot wait. I have plans for my trip.
Sweet.
By the way, I know that people get upset when people post pictures of their vacation, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
When people post pictures of their
never
vacation.
Never bothered me.
Like, it's not like I'm going to spend a lot of time. Like, I'm going to flip through and be like, oh, that's really cool, and then, like, move on with my day. But that way I get to kind of see what they're doing.
I have a non-related question to ask Nathan. Have you played the fourth chapter of Walking Dead yet? Because I haven't. I'm about to play tomorrow.
I was going
to
play it yesterday, and then Charter exploded.
That did happen.
I forgot it was out, because the fifth chapter comes out soon. I'm not going to see Nathan for 4 months after this, so I have to like talk to him.
I will have
months.
Played it by the time you get back from Jamaica.
I'm going to
probably
play it in Jamaica.
I'm probably going to play it tonight.
I need to play the first episode.
Game 4.
The first one, yeah. I have it on Steam. I just haven't done yet. Anyway, so this is the
longest
intro.
And I'm Nathan, Rydia fan on various forums, and I play Convergence of Cirrus.
That's true.
I had to swallow my pride a little bit because I was playing, I'm in a Blood Bowl league that Devil Squid arranged. I don't know what Brian's doing. Oh, he's leaving in the most circuitous manner possible. I'm in a Blood Bowl league.
It's too bright. I liked it better. Everyone looks better.
I was stealthy leaving the room. No one could see what I was doing.
Yes, that was totally stealthy.
I think our listeners could see you moving.
Point is, I played against my opponent, and you know, I'm Rydia fan, Nathan, that's my coach name, and all this stuff like that. And then we're playing, and he's like, oh, yeah, so what are you playing? I'm like, oh, he doesn't listen to my podcast.
That's true.
Sad. But oh well.
I had the same problem when I was at Gen Con. I pointed to didn't know who I am. Like, you don't know who the fuck I am? God damn you.
Well,
I'm important.
Do you have any idea who I am?
In the games I played, there were two kinds of people.
I'm Abe Froman.
There were the people who totally knew our podcast and had heard of it. And then people who told me about how they recorded a podcast one time with their friends.
Yeah.
That no one's ever heard of it because you didn't even post online, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, those were the two kinds of people I met. Were people that thought they should be famous and the people that had heard of me.
I'm always glad when somebody doesn't know. I'm like, thank God. It's like a, they have some, because if they know me, like, yeah, they'll have less respect.
When I play my Rhett, I'm always really glad when someone doesn't know me. It's always really embarrassing. It's like, oh, you're the guy from Crippled Sister. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm playing Rhett today.
Yeah. That's usually what falls. Oh, you're the podcast? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's always an apology whenever someone recognizes us.
Yeah. So.
It's your turn to introduce
yourself.
Oh, I'm Brian. I'm going to Jamaica.
Yes. Now we need your 5-minute tangent from that too.
Well, I think it was all mixed into the tangents.
That's
all
true.
Right. I'm Andy.
Well, I didn't introduce himself yet.
How the hell we're going?
God damn it!
Which way are we going?
It's counterclockwise. So right. It's pretty simple.
Going Wittershins.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm Andy, Major Tusk on the forums, and I play mercenaries.
Yay. That's true.
Yep, that's it. All right, we're done. Episode 83.
Woo! In the can. Done.
Yep. 80% intro over. That's the end of an episode.
It was about a 15-minute intro.
Wow.
Well, I did record...
No, I just mean that we introduced 80% of the podcast.
Yeah,
that's where we're ending the episode.
I did keep in... I'm going to keep in the Katie kill
she
rant.
She was grumpy.
Yeah.
It was
that
great.
Was just... I am so angry.
She did tell me, can we just not go to the wedding? And I said, maybe you should think about it. I was like, not going to a wedding over an online board game might be extreme. I don't want to say no right now because you scare me. But maybe we'll think on it.
So I'm a little bit competitive.
There were just two minds there.
Have we told the story on the air about you and me and Scrabble? I don't know that we did. So when I was first dating Katie, this is how competitive Katie is.
Uh-oh.
We both worked at Epic, and we would occasionally play Scrabble online together. Because there's like a million ways to play Scrabble online. And she used to regularly beat me. Like, regularly. And the one time, I just destroyed
her. You didn't even know what the fucking word meant. Like,
but it was
a
word.
It didn't matter that it was a word. Like, the one that you got mad at me for not being a word was quasi, which I thought was a word. And you were like, no, quasi.
It's a prefix.
It's a prefix, but according to Scrabble, it's a word.
Well,
which I was mad about.
We were playing.
The version we were playing counted. So anyway,
were we playing Scrabble or Gibberish with Acquaintances?
Well, this was before Gibberish with Acquaintances was
okay.
A thing.
Yeah.
Like, we were playing actual online Scrabble.
Okay.
So I played some word that I didn't know what it was. It turned out to mean, like, a milkmaid or something like that. But I just was like, this sounds like a word. I'll try it. And it was like, yep, that's a word.
It was like Zicardi or something. On like
that
a triple,
Zicardi and cola.
It was like on two triple word scores.
It was amazing.
It was a ridiculous word. Like, he obviously just stuck a bunch of words or letters together and hoped for the best. I got so angry.
She got so mad. So I beat her by like well over 100 points that game. So I go up to her office to gloat afterwards, which was a terrible mistake. So I get up to her office and I shut the door. And she was screaming at me so loudly that when I left to go back to my office like 10 minutes later, her boss came down the hall into her office and said, did you guys just break up?
I think I threw a stapler at you.
You did throw a stapler at me.
Wow.
Like, that's how competitive Katie is.
She told me, she said, I wanted to come in and ask you something, but I was too scared.
This was her boss.
The hostile work environment.
Right? Well, this is. But I can only be competitive against people who can take it.
I play with John and Casey today in some board games, and they are there. And she's pretty competitive too. It's kind of because they were kind of like, you know, back and forth, you know, yelling at each other. There was like a meet. It wasn't quite like when we met. We play with a couple of you guys met, and you know, if your second word to the person's calling them a cunt because they play their like,
hey,
second train.
That was like the third thing I said to her.
But,
yeah, was ticket just, to ride. You called someone you just met a cunt.
Oh, I knew her.
Oh, yeah, you guys knew her a little
bit.
Yeah,
we had known each other.
We had known each other for a little while.
She's my coworker, and we've been on several double dates with her and her.
But we'd never played a game with her together. Like,
so, like, the third action.
Round of Ticket to Ride.
You know, shots fuck.
Goddamn ride.
Well, it was the Europe edition. It's very bloody. So, that happened. So, but it was kind of fun, because it's always fun when you got couples and they can argue. Yeah. You know, it's fun for the rest of us to, like, you know what, let them get their rage, and they can attack each other the rest of the game.
All right. So this seems oddly inappropriate, but who wants a plop in their mouth?
That is inappropriate, I agree.
Is this the expansion to Pooper Potatoes?
Speaking of which, Katie, you were called out by my nephew.
Huh?
I even tagged
I
you.
I didn't take the challenge. No. I responded.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
All right.
What?
We responded as a couple.
Okay.
The ALS ice bucket thing.
ALS ice bucket thing.
Oh, I challenged you.
Yeah, no. My brother dumped a bucket of potatoes on my nephew's head instead of ice water. And they posted it on our Facebook feed.
Oh, nice.
I actually wondered if that hurt him a lot.
I wondered too. Adam's like, I thought it would be viral by now. I'm like, either viral or evidence against you in a child abuse case.
We definitely have
Plop.
A thing called
somebody has
Plop.
To take a picture of it, though, too. We have to tweet it up.
Who's this friend?
This is from Dave Monroe.
Mook drooglin mid wingling to flingin.
Well, let's take a picture. Somebody take a picture.
Somebody got to take a picture.
Too late.
My phone is...
Anyway, while you're doing that, I'm going to tell my Scrabble anecdote, which is yesterday somebody posted a scene from Psych on my Facebook wall. True story.
Okay, it was not like it. I think it's very good.
Yes. There's a Scrabble-based scene from Psych.
Tastes a little bit like coffee.
No.
To me, it did.
I disagree.
My tongue tells me that tastes a little bit like coffee.
It's toffee. Maybe your tongue can't tell C's and T's apart and thinks it tastes like coffee because it can't spell toffee.
Maybe.
That is delicious.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan.
I do have another one, but I ate some of it.
You son of a bitch.
It was so good. I don't know what this is. No, I can't read it.
Let me see.
Dame? D-A-I-M?
Listen to us eat food from Germany.
Nope. No, this is from Sweden.
Oh, Sweden. Wait, this is the Sweden stuff.
That's what I meant, Sweden, Germany. Okay. They're the same place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought that was the geography dunce.
How come there's no vodka this time?
Vodka does make everything better.
I like this thing better.
This one is amazing.
This one is tasty.
Somebody talk about something while he's handing out food.
Yeah, I'm just going to chew it up.
And just eating. Why not?
Yeah. Hey, people.
Thank you for sending us stuff.
The Psych thing was funny because had been arrested and they're in the interrogation room and the dad's like, don't say a word. And then the main character goes, Fergalicious. Dad's like, I said don't say a word. And he's like, I see how it is. When we're playing Scrabble, it's not a word, but now it's a word because it's convenient for you. That show's so good.
That show is good.
Nathan, you have to try this. Just because Dave said that he wanted... Oh, you're still eating stuff.
I'm eating this crackly thing.
Yeah. This is really good.
Oh my god, it's good too. Give me everything.
No.
Hey.
Yeah, whatever
that
this
looks
chocolate.
Like black licorice. I don't want that.
Oh, I love black licorice.
What is this, Marabou?
You want to try black licorice?
Whatever this is, it's good. I'm done.
It tastes like it has little bits of butter toffee in it. Yeah, that's awesome.
But that's crunchy toffee. The other one, it was soft. It was almost like caramel consistency.
Crunchy one's my favorite as well. That's really good.
This is Turkish peber. I don't know it.
Well, it's Turkish.
Turkish.
But it's like
make
a
some reference to the movie.
Tastes like licorice. Delicious.
There
nice.
You go.
I love black licorice.
I do have some more.
Oh my goodness.
If you want to be involved in this part of the podcast, send us food and we'll eat it.
Yep.
Well, this is your play at home portion. Everybody, you should be opening up your German chocolates and eating along with
us. Swedish!
It'd be German eventually. Just give us some time. We'll get there.
All right, well, while the food portion's going on.
Yeah. Most of Europe has been German at some point in time.
They prefer not to.
You're welcome.
Especially France.
Yeah. That marginal line sure didn't work.
Well, they nope. secretly liked it.
Some stuff with Oreos.
I do like Oreos.
All right, Katie, you have a corner or something? Where are we going with?
I do have a corner. So,
Or we can talk about the casserts first. What do we want to do?
We can corner first. That works.
Okay. All right, so Jeremy and I did play Concordia this weekend, which was new to us, but we have...
I think it was actually pretty new at Gen Con, too.
No, I think it's been out for about a year. But we've decided that because the only two of us played, we need to play with more people in order to really firm up what I think the scores are for the 5 points of entry. So instead, because as Nathan mentioned, Charter was down, which is your internet carrier. I played a ton of Tickets Ride on my iPad, I know is not a new game in any way, but I'm going to go ahead and review that one.
I will say, before we jump off Concordia, I enjoyed Concordia. I am looking forward to trying it with more people. Two-player, it was fun, but I feel like it'll be a very... It's the sort of game...
What is it?
It's a...
Area control
I guess, at its heart. Ooh. So there's cities, and each city is in a province. And whenever you want to collect resources from a city, you collect that whole province. And multiple people can build in a single city. So with two players, often you could just collect for yourself because the other person didn't happen to have built in that province. With multiple players, I feel like the game will be very much you're collecting like all the time.
Because when some person triggers the city, it pays for everybody in the city?
In the whole province.
Right, okay.
Which
right,
is usually
right.
two to three cities.
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So I feel like with a multiplayer,
so you kind of try to piggyback off of each other a little bit.
And we haven't played. I've only played El Grande at 5 because it felt like under 5 it wouldn't quit, because it's area control. You feel like you lose so much per player loss. So I can probably see that game.
And it was fun. Well, we'll talk about it more hopefully next time or whatever once we've played it multiplayer. But it was very fun. I definitely enjoyed it.
Hey,
I look forward to playing it again.
Katie's corner.
I was just saying before she jumps on.
So, Ticket's Ride, the first one, if you guys recall, is Barrier to Entry. I think the barrier to entry for this one is fairly low. I'm going to give it a 2. Oh, I should probably back up and explain what Ticket's Ride is for those people who don't know.
Right?
Well, in my mind, like, everyone plays Ticket's Ride, because obviously.
And I don't, you keep playing Ticket's Ride, I'm very confused right now.
I know.
Can I make a minor question about your scoring system? In most of these, it's a higher number better?
Yes.
So maybe it should be ease of entry, so it's consistent instead of having a low, or are you saying it's hard to play Ticket to Ride, because it's...
I would have given it a 2.
So it's easy.
Point is, like, your scale's upside down, because in the barrier to entry scale, a lower number is better?
Well, whatever.
So
Katie's scale.
Maybe you like that.
I'm just saying,
Katie's rules.
Hey. All right.
Hey, don't question the coordinate.
I thought the same thing, but I'm like, that's a road I'm not going down. Nathan will get it someday.
Hey,
so
I'm not a very consistent person.
That's true.
It really plays well into my profession.
Gotcha. Don't bring up her bad memory. It's also a trap.
Sorry about attacking your gypsies.
I wanted to have my revenge on you today, by the way.
You want?
Jeremy told me why, and I said, because it sounds like fun.
Right, now it's going to get revenge for no apparent reason
other than
just fun. I'd be like, why is this happening to me? I was bored.
a two, then.
So anyway, Ticket to Ride is a game where each player has a set number of trains. I think it's 44 or 45, and you'll have destinations. And the board will be a map. The most popular versions are U.S. or European maps. And then there are all sorts. Like, I just bought expansions for India and...
Switzerland.
And then I know there are Norwegian ones as well, and there's probably others. But basically, you'll just try and connect one city to another using your train. So it's very much like area control, and you have to pick up certain cards and play. And then, obviously, the more people you are playing with, the more people can be on the same route. And then as you switch from different regions, it adds in different levels of complexity at some points. So I'm going to be talking about the U.S. one specifically, because I think it's probably the most common one, the one that people are usually introduced to, although there are other maps that, like I said, adds different levels of complexity to it.
Europe for life, bro.
Yeah. So anyway, barrier to entry, despite what Nathan says, I'm going to give that one a 2, because I think it's pretty low. I think it's a pretty easy game to explain to people that haven't played games before like this. I think if somebody's used to Monopoly, they can pick up on this one pretty easily.
That's one of our go-to. It's one of our go-to games.
It's one of our go-to games for people who are newer to games. It is very colorful, and so I think that keeps, I don't know why that in my mind it makes it simpler. But it does.
It's easy to see at a glance. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You're like, you don't have to track who's winning or losing. You're just looking like, wow, that's a shitload of green trains. Green's doing well.
Yeah. The only thing that I will say that confuses people is they will have their trains will be a color, and then they'll think that they can only lay on that. So if they have green as their player, then be like, well, I can only lay on green tracks, right?
You would do terribly if you did
that.
Terribly if you did that. So that's the only issue that I've come up with. Fun. This game is super fun. You can play it lots and lots of times. I think I played it like 20 times yesterday, at least. And then I played like 3 or 4 more times today.
I really value you guys had your getaway weekend for yourselves. And Katie's playing Ticket to Ride on your getaway to yourselves. It's your
happy anniversary.
It's your couple's retreat. And all she does is play Ticket to Ride.
It wasn't all
romance
she did.
In the air.
To be fair, it wasn't all she did. It sound like all she did.
She also that's threatened not to not come to my wedding.
That's true. That also happened.
The first PG-13 movie was Red Dawn.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, there you go.
That's where people are waking up with their throat slit.
They have an iPad version. I don't know if they have one for non-iPad tablets. But if you play a game by yourself, it's a really quick game. It's only 5 to 10 minutes long, if you know what you're doing.
And if you like it, because you can choose how many computer opponents you
want
to play
against.
You can
choose. I usually do 3 computer opponents. If you, depending on which ones you choose, they like do different things. Like one of them gets rid of them a lot faster. One of them just makes smarter decisions. That's
they have different AI?
Yeah, different
style. AI.
There's good, better. I mean, you have your wild card AI.
Yeah, like, I'm building shit wherever, because screw the world. I have trains, so I'm putting them down.
Yeah.
So I think it's really, really fun, and that'll play into replayability, which is the next one. I think that one is probably a 4 to second. let's see, I'm going to say 2 for bear. I'm writing this down. And then 4 for fun and 4. No, I'm going to say a 5 for fun.
Ooh,
and then a 4 for replayability.
I think America gets a 4 for fun.
America gets a 4 for fun?
You've got to take a point away for the ability to completely screw destroy someone by putting one train out of Seattle, Oregon.
I don't know how many times this weekend Jeremy heard me say, oh no, I wanted to go there.
Yeah.
He's so mad at him.
And that's, I mean, some could argue that that is the fun of the game, and for 99% of the places that you can play a train, that is fun, but I think that the America map has a couple badly designed bottlenecks.
Seattle to Portland is the worst.
The Seattle to Portland bottleneck is very bad design choice, and then there's one in the Midwest, I think you said, like Chicago. That's why I like the Europe map, is the Europe map gets rid of my only complaint about Ticket to Ride.
Yeah. Although, I guess it helps one person, because someone else, in the Europe map, you have that secondary, you can put down a station.
You can put the station on either side.
It helps, like, if you imagine that rule in the America map, you could put it on to Portland, or you could put it on to Seattle. Either of those stations gives you that route.
Yeah.
So, people, the person who built there and one player on each end, can use that route.
What they're talking about is in the European version, there's stations, and if you are cock-blocked by someone and you can't get to your destination because somebody already went on those set of tracks, you can lay down a station, and the station allows you to use their tracks. That's one of the unique things about Europe, I think.
That's one of only two. That and the tunnel digging, which is what
tunnel digging carries on, though, because Switzerland
carries
the tunnel digging.
Oh, the station's unique to Europe. I believe so.
Yeah. I don't remember what I was going to say, so I'll just move on. Strategic depth.
You were rating replay value.
Oh, replayability. You can play this over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I will say this about America, though, is you can complete more destinations in America than you can in Europe.
Yes, you feel like you're doing better in the American version than the Europe version often.
Right.
So that does, for some people, play into how much fun they feel like they're having.
Sure.
For strategic depth, I'm actually going to give this one a 3 or 3.5. I think that I've seen several different strategies, but I haven't seen them very, very much. Like, there isn't,
There's the slow play your trains and try to, like, do a big build. There's the build as you get them, and then there's the variation in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you have this deep strategy beyond that.
I mean, you can kind of plan out your trains to try and get longest train, which you get an extra 10 points for. Or you can, if you want to cock block someone, you can. Or I've seen people play the people and act like they're doing very poorly, and so people don't cockblock them as much. So, I mean, there are different things that you can do.
Sure.
It's just not, there's just not a lot of options to be strategically different.
I would agree. I think a 3 is
Tim
very valid.
That's a good value. Tim always does the outside of the map first and works his way in.
Yep.
But that's not kind of
a variation, but yeah.
One thing I will say, though, that I've learned from playing on my tablet so much is that if you get several long destinations for America to begin with. So in Europe, you get one long destination and then two short ones. And then in America, you just get 3 random ones. They might not be long. They might be long. If you get 2 long ones in America, make sure that you have enough trains to actually complete it. Because I've ran into that before where I
physically couldn't complete them.
And then is it co-op? No, it is not a co-op game.
Unless you're playing it really wrong.
The one thing I will say about Ticket to Ride that's not, doesn't feed into its score in any way, but just an FYI if you've never played it, is the harshest number of players is 3. The paths that Katie was mentioning that have multiple routes, you can put 2 people on the same route, open up at 4. And so if you're playing with 3 people, it's the most congested the map ever gets.
Yes.
Since the game only goes to 5, and there's a lot of double routes. 4 feels very open, 2 feels pretty open, 5 feels mildly congested, 3 is very much cutthroat. 3 is the most cutthroat number in the U.S. version.
I would recommend 4 or 5 players.
I kind of enjoy playing it at 3.
Well, that's when you get into people purposely. Like they'll choose short destinations, make them, and spend the rest of the game cock-blocking people.
Yep, and it's a valid strategy at 3. It's probably not at other player values for Europe for the U.S. version.
So that's my corner for Ticket to Ride.
Yay!
And like I said, next week we'll try and talk about Concordia a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So I might be able to put something up on our website where we could possibly do some reviews or something like that, where you can actually write up a review for a game if you'd like.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah.
I could see about doing that, and then maybe even link
we
to
can always
like
track this chart too.
Yep.
And then as
it gets more. Yeah.
The other thing is, if there's something that you guys want specifically out of this, like you're hoping to hear about a game, or you're specifically interested, let me know, and I'll try and incorporate that.
And if I let her know, she means get a hold of me. Because she doesn't read her email or the forums?
That's true.
But if you email crippledsystem@gmail.com, what is it?
Podcast at crippledsystem.com.
Podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Yep, or podcast, or
crippledsystem@gmail.com.
Or post in our threads on the IRS.
Well, I'm just saying, yeah. I'm the one that reads the email, so it's very easy for me to get it to Katie if you email us.
That
I read them too, but I ignore them. And then let Jeremy
and
deal,
let
with
me deal with them. Yeah.
We're going to talk about the casters and other board games we play at Gen Con. Do we want to do the board games since Nathan's out of the room? He got a phone call.
He didn't get the play the board games anyway. So,
A couple of us bought board games. We mentioned them last week, but we figured we're going to touch on them in a little bit more detail this week because we got a little bit of a request for a little bit more depth. Do you want to say anything about a game?
I didn't actually play any of the games. So I was going to play Sentinel Tactics. Technically, I did not buy it at Gen Con, but it was available at Gen Con. I got my Kickstarter copy as I was leaving to go to Gen Con. So
I read the rules for that game. I know how to play it.
Yeah,
it seems very intriguing. That's my comment. The rules
seems pretty simple. I mean, it has rules. It's very
the rulebook had a glossary. I'm always happy to see glossaries.
Yep.
the only small complaint about it when I was pulling out all the pieces for Sentinel Tactics, it didn't, nowhere in the instruction booklet or on the box did it have a huge list of components.
Oh, so you don't? There's no way to be 100% sure you have everything.
Wait, yeah.
Or if you lose a piece somewhere.
Or if I lose a piece, I have really no idea. I mean, I'm sure Board Game Geek will have that printed up someplace.
They always do, yeah.
But at the same time, I wish it was in the instructions.
It's one of those games where it has your instruction booklet is one booklet, and the other booklets are scenario booklets. But the scenario booklets are written like comic books, so it's kind of a cool little gimmicky thing. Sentinel Tactics is.
Yeah, it's. And the other thing I wanted to do, too, is I wanted to have everything organized by scenario or something like that. Where you know, like Baron Blade, he's got a bunch of cronies that work with him, but I'm not sure what other chits are needed with his character. So I wanted to have things separated out.
Well,
luckily
the scenarios explain it pretty good. So, I mean, I have to read through that. That was one of my, I was curious what works with, but the scenario, it actually, as you read more and more, it's kind of.
Yeah, I will probably test that out. No, you're leaving this next week.
I'll take it with me to Jamaica.
You cannot take it with you. It's my copy.
All right.
But I can maybe hook up, I'll bring that to Nathan's wedding.
Hooray!
Yeah. You want us to bring board games to your wedding, don't you?
This licorice-flavored hard candy is also spicy, which is interesting. it gets hot the longer.
That explains the fire on the bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like if it is going to rain at your wedding and we are going to be under the pavilion, then we should bring board games.
There isn't a pavilion.
It's going to be very crowded under the pavilion if it rains. It keeps changing. Like, when it was 10 days out, so it just first got on the 10-day forecast, Raylene woke up and it was like 90% chance, thunderstorms all day, also 90 degrees, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
Was literally what the Weather Channel said on its website. And then like 12 hours later, it's like, sunny, for reals, yo. And then today it's like 40% chance rain. So I told Raylene she's banned from the Weather Channel until at least Wednesday.
Well, there's nothing she can do about it. Like,
because I went on weather.com and they had like the other article things. And one of their articles is like, this massive sea monster was captured off the coast or whatever. And I look at the picture and it's just a whale shark. It's just a whale shark. It's not a sea monster.
If you say to yourselves, we're going to have a wedding outside, you go, fuck it, I don't care about forecasts. Whatever happens, happens a day of. And you're just like, whatever. Yeah. Whatevs.
Like, I was talking, every time I'm telling people at the outdoor wedding, I'm like, yeah, I mean, you know, there's historically, there's only like a 10% chance it'll rain that day. And like, well, do you have a plan B if it rains? I'm like, yeah, we get wet. That's our plan B.
It's a plan.
We will still get married outside and we'll just get wet.
Have an umbrella.
Yeah.
There you go.
Umbrellas.
I guess of everything, there's two games from Gen Con I played. I'll summarize one really quick and one kind of quick. Battle of Five Armies. Which I played on Friday. Nathan was invited, but I was too busy for the wedding. Preparation, it's so important. Blah, blah, blah.
I suck.
My punishment was not getting to play Battle of Five Armies. If it is the same as the tactical games from the original War of the Ring expansion, it must have been a blast.
If people have played War of the Ring, it kind of mimics War of the Ring. Basically, you have action that you roll a bunch of dice, and then what side of the dice is up determines what kind of actions you can take. One player plays a Free Peoples, one player plays a Shadow Army.
You mean one people plays the racists, and one people plays the poor, trodden upon, innocent orcs.
Yes. It's basically the Free People have to survive long enough. If like there's a fate track, and if the fate track reaches 15, the Free Peoples win. They've just withstood the army long enough, right. And then the Shadow player has to defeat and conquer enough strongholds to get up to a certain amount of points.
Yeah,
but it has it's slightly more tactic. In War of the Ring combat, you throw some guys in there, you roll a couple dice, and that you hit or you don't hit, and that's it. And you have some cards that do stuff. In this game, you have a couple more. You have some advanced strategy cards. Depending on what units you use, can affect the results. Mm-hmm. You have to factor in your armies can take wounds and base. You don't actually start losing miles to X amount of wounds.
Huh.
So it's got a few extra layers. The free people get like 9 characters over the course of the game, and the shadow players only get 1 character, but he's a goddamn monster. It's just Bulg.
Well,
but they have like shadow bats. They have bats that do things, and the free players eventually get eagles that do things.
You should see if you can scrounge up or find on eBay or find a used copy of the expansion, the original version.
They're
going to
be making more. Those games may be coming out. There's a game called The Battle, though. They said Battle that they're reprinting all their games. They're making minor changes. Like they're going to use the same dice for all their games. They're not going to change dice, and that's just because it's convenient across all their games. And some of these models were the same models as War of the Ring, although there were some new molds. But it's fine. I would say War of the Ring probably takes, especially new players, 2.5 to 3 hours. Experienced player, 2 hours. Battle of 5 hours probably takes 90 minutes to 2 hours at the most to play. It's a much faster game, but it's so thematic because then you have with all these different decks you're using, every game is going to be played differently. It was neat. That's just a little summary of that game.
My buddy and I used to play the tactical games from War of the Ring a lot. Like, we played them more than we played War of the Ring, and we love War of the Ring.
If you are a fan of anything Tolkien, you will love War of the Ring, and you will like Battle. Battles of Five Armies is still really fun. It's just the games are designed. Both of them are two-player games. They're both kind of expensive. But they're $100 games. Well, yeah. War of the Ring is a little bit under 100, but it's out of print right now. It won't come in print a few more months, so it's right now on eBay for like $130, $150. But I would say they're must haves if you like tactical games and you like Tolkien and you don't mind 2-player games.
Yeah,
it's a heavy learning curve because 2-player games really throw more rules in because you really it's only 2 people have to learn them, so they overload you a little bit. But it's cool. The other game I played, we played today for the first time, was Sons of Anarchy. Gale Force 9 made it. They made Spartacus and Firefly. Also, we played the Firefly expansion. Side note, Firefly expansion is Kimo Dragon. It's amazing. That's my Firefly expansion summary. Just amazing. Maybe we'll talk about it more later. I don't want to go too much. But Sons of Anarchy, you basically have like, you start off with so many tiles, and each tile is a location in the city, and you send workers out. The goal is after 6 turns, whoever has the most money wins. It's basically victory points is money. But during the game, you have to spend money on guns, or you're spending money on contraband, or you're using your contraband or guns, and you're selling them for money based on different tiles. It's all resource management because you have your gang consists of prospects who want to join your gang and members who are fully patched in, and based on what you have of each type, you can do different things. But like a worker placement game, you go to a spot, and then once a turn, you can use that spot. But maybe someone else is like, well, I don't want that dude to use that spot, so you send your guys there, and you literally fight over territory. So it's like a worker placement game with aggression.
You don't just block someone with a worker; their worker can come in and fight for it.
Yeah, you basically send your guy, and then each player secretly determines how many guns they apply to the battle. Because if you fight without guns, you just go back to your clubhouse, which is your card. But if you use guns, you automatically injure people. Then there's a hospital tile, and then they might die in the hospital. So there's that element. Then if there's this whole heat track where the more bad things you do, the cops come after you. And if you get too much heat, you have to immediately send a guy to jail, or the guy gets sent off the game because he's thrown in jail.
And he picks his tongue off.
I would assume that you lose any of the guns that you commit to the battle.
Correct.
Okay.
So the game comes with 24 gun tiles, and on our turn 5, at the start of the 5, we realized everyone had all the gun tiles were gone. I'm like, it's going to be a rough turn. And then like Casey was doing really well, and I think 70% of her guys were in like the emergency room by like halfway through turn 5 because someone just unleashed like an armada of guns. It was just a hail of bullfire. And then the game also has this random deck where every turn, on turns 1 it's 1 card, turn 2 it's 2 cards, and turn 3 on it's 3 cards, but they do like a card might be a hassle or there's a weird negative effect for the turn, or maybe it's an obstacle where it just means the player with the most X has a penalty suddenly, or the player with the most something gets a benefit. And then there's like new, because you have basically up to 11 locations in the deck, the cards might say a temporary location for this phase. And I have probably 20 tiles, and you only use 9 per game, so you always have 10 tiles out. So it's a very different game every time.
You have 11 tiles.
Yeah, 11 tiles out every time. And then the Hazard deck has probably 40 cards, but every game you only use like 20 of them. So you really get this nice diversity. Yeah,
the permutations have to be borderline infinite.
Yeah. And then you have the unleaded version where every gang starts with the exact same abilities, or you have the other version of the game, the unleaded version of the game, where suddenly every gang has special abilities and some start with different things, so then it gets really customizable. It's pretty slick. There's a lot of violence, and it's, you can negotiate. You can be like, hey, I'll give you some guns if you don't go here, or you go fight that gang or whatever. And all, and then there's a black market phase where at the end of every turn, people secretly display how many contraband they're going to sell to the black market. And if it's like 1 to 4, each contraband's worth 3. If it's 2 to 7, it's worth, you know, 2. And if you flood the market with contraband, then each contraband's worth less.
Okay.
It's kind of like that one game we have. It's based on how many people...
The camels.
It's like that one track where based on how many things
and
you sell.
Amun-Ray.
It has that fact like Amun-Ray.
I knew that game. Yeah. That's what I actually like.
I was thinking not the Raw game, but the other one.
Yeah. So we played it. I would say if you know how to play, and it takes like 10 minutes. Really, it was less than 10 minutes to explain. And the game plays very fast. I would say if you have four people, and you want to play, you can play 3 or 4, but I think the game would just always be more fun at 4. If you have, it would probably take an hour to play with experienced people who played it once each.
It's pretty nice and quick.
Yeah, quick. It's bloody. It's violent. It's ridiculous. You can't actually kill Gemma, so you lose that element. If anyone knows who Gemma is, you can't kill named characters from the show. Uh-oh. Although some of them should die horribly in a fire. So that was the first question someone asked. Can I kill Gemma? I'm like, no. They're like, damn it.
That's kind of game ruined.
Yeah. So, and
on a side note, everyone should watch the show too. Yeah, the show is amazing.
It's amazingly. It's surprising how good that show is for a show about a biker gang. You're like, okay, about biker gangs, whatever. And you're like, holy fuck, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah. Awesome game. And get the Firefly expansion. It's awesome.
Huzzah.
Very cool. We talked a little bit about Concordia already. It's a area control game, like we said. The main aspect of the game is building your settlements that then can get you the various kinds of five different kinds of resources.
Question.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about Concordia again?
Because we're talking about new games that came out at Gen Con.
She was going to talk about Concordia again next week after she played it more because she could do her Katie's Corner.
All right, fine.
You are cock blocking her Katie's Corner trumpings.
I'm That's done.
True. Yeah, we mentioned Caverna a little bit, I think, last time. We did talk about
Caverna.
Yeah. That'll have to go in more detail at some point.
And we can, but yeah, we can save a little bit for that. We have our little board game.
I played Dune while you were gone. I like Dune.
Yeah, I saw you suckered some people into playing Dune.
Dude, we had a blast. Even Newbie had fun because he killed like 30 of my troopers and like 5 of my leaders, and he was Newbie stomped on my people all day, all game long. Like all he was just Harkonnen smashing Bene Gesserit faces across the desert.
Newbie won Firefly today. He finally won a game of Firefly instead of coming in. He was so happy. He did really well. But he's had some.
Yeah, he was posting some pictures of that too.
Historically, he does not do well.
Yeah, it's my little mini Gen Con, which was a game of Dune and then a game of Amun-Ray.
Nice.
Also fun.
So, well, I mean...
We're going to talk about the casters real quick?
I think we should run through them real quick, because Brian won't be here, and I know he played Xerxes 2. Oh. So at least give Brian a chance to check to discuss Xerxes 2.
It's just that we're gonna have time issues again.
Oh.
That's fine. So, Brian, real quick.
Xerxes 2.
Have any of us played any of the casters?
Well, that's the thing. Brian played Xerxes 2. I'm going to play Atsalani this week. I didn't get a chance
I'll wait.
How about we do
so
one
So, Brian
week.
Will talk about Xerxes because he has practice.
Right.
Neither you nor I nor anybody else at the table has played their new one.
I played Axelon.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's not really new.
He's not in
He's not even released yet.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's not one of the extinguished casters.
Whatever.
He's not an extinguished.
He's
Warlock.
Old news.
He's in a book that's even further away than Exigence.
I've played that guy. He's easy.
Go ahead and talk about your Xerxes, too.
It's interesting when you put down whenever you put down a huge base, it is your caster. Positioning is just so ridiculous. I mean, people are getting more and more used to positioning already because they have their battle engine and their
Colossals
or gargantuans or whatever. But when your main force of winning or losing the game is on a huge base, you just have to be so paranoid. But casters with ride by attack is so nice because you can walk forward, do an attack,
cast spells,
and then you can get the F out of dodge. And with Xerxes, he has mobility, so he can, that's 9 inches of forward and backwards to play around with.
Yep.
A lot of people like to put sprint on him or Malakarn's Animus on him. But depends. Because he can bond with a non-character beast, so he can't bond with Karn. So he can't. But he can bond with Arcanon, so he can walk forward 9, kill something, and then he can sprint away 9,
which is kind of amazing.
Which is pretty ridiculous. The downside is the thing about the Kriya is cool because the Kriya you get a 2-inch paralytic aura bubble around him, and if he charges something, if he charges forward, paralytic auras, his impact attacks are basically mat 10, which you're pretty much not going to miss a mat 10, and then And if his feet's up, of course, his feet being basically signs importance plus all models in his control range.
Yeah.
Which I love When I first read this feat, I quick read it because I got the card. I missed the all miles in its control range. Then I read it. I'm like, holy crap, that's such a ridiculous...
For some reason, I am just amused by that first sentence. That it's just, it's so simple. Just all models are in his control area. And I just imagine, and I posted in the Muse forums, like the models in the warehouses, in Privateer Press's factories, yeah. They're in his control area.
If you're playing Xerxes 2 and you're a scoring player, you pop your feet. You have to call all your friends who have scoring and say, for the next 5 minutes, my feet's up. You're in it. You get signs of importance. And you have to call them. Okay, it's done now.
You have to declare it at the tournament, right?
Yeah.
You have to say, scoring has signs of importance.
Yeah. And then, okay, turns over. It's off.
My other one is like, Kate Upton has signs of importance because she's a model. So she's in his control area. Yeah.
But is she friendly faction?
I hope so.
But that just allows such ridiculous. But, I mean, in some ways, he's just another Karn missile delivery system because Karn charges 15 inches in a straight line with Xerxes, which is ridiculous with Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And as neat as that is, it's just another Karn missile. It's like, oh, look, another Karn missile. Whoop-de-doo.
Right.
But everything else being faster, and I was even having Reptile Hounds go 12 inches, and actually Arcanaut just being basically that much farther of a threat range. Because, I mean, they're speed 7, so they're 9s. So they're pretty ridiculous. You can rush them 14 inches. And they have good crit effects, which you want with Xerxes on his feet turn.
Sign of importance, yep. Yeah.
With his signs of importance.
They're crit consume, right?
No, it's crit pitch.
Oh, crit pitch.
Oh, nice. Throw that shit.
And his Rhino has auto knockdown on his tusks or on his.
He's always
mount attack. His mount attack is auto knockdown. Nice. His horn is so long, but he doesn't have reach. Sort of makes me sort of frustrated.
The Rhino's horn.
Rhino horn. It should be reach. But no, I mean he doesn't do much for besides. I mean he does definitely help everything for his feet turn. Like all your models get tuned up on your feet turn.
Mm-hmm.
But other than his feet turn, infantry don't get anything out of him.
Ignite.
Ignite is nice, but
yeah, I mean, Scorn doesn't really need it, but you do have Ignite.
Yeah, Ignite is a great spell, but it's like, I mean, Ignite on Malakarn under the feet is, I mean, it's like, oh, I killed everything. But I mean, it's almost as ridiculous as Zal, except he doesn't die at the end of it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty ridiculous.
Ignite's but, yeah. Just damage, though, right?
Plus 2 damage.
Yeah, it's not and the crit fire as well. Right, crit but it fire. Doesn't do anything to do is to hit rolls.
No. But no, he was a lot of fun. I mean, he's got to kind of swoop him around the board, move him a couple inches this way, hit something, move him a couple inches that way, hit something, and try to get back to safety.
Did you find it was difficult to use him offensively without leaving him wide open to counterattacks?
Well, I would mostly block myself in the first 2 games I played. I would always have some beast in the wrong spot that I wanted to activate after his feat. So you really have to kind of think about the turn ahead, which is true for all factions to some degree, but because you want to activate him so early in your feat turn, you have to make sure. But you are right. I mean, you have this huge base. If he's too far forward, you have this whole, angle of people can get into him.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, his army charges farther than his opponent charges into him. So you're really true. Not. And as long as you have a Kriya behind him with the aura up, he's going to be probably pretty safe. Like anyone in Kriks, he doesn't like purification. But no one likes purification.
Yeah, scoring. He's one of the 3 casters in the game that have armor 19 base. So
yeah. So 21 against shooting is pretty slick.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we haven't even seen what else in that book. There could be other things in that book to tune him up even more.
Yeah, new infantry unit could be really good with him. We don't know.
Yeah, so it won't take much.
Yeah, if that unit has like a crit and high mat so that Ignite just makes him gods.
I'm going to play him with every model I have, and I've just been playing around. When I get a new caster, I want to put everything on the table with him. And I was reading through my models again. I always get mad when I look at my Reaver 2-point little Venator gun. Yeah. It's a 2-point
solo.
It's artillery. It's an artillery piece. It's just, it's D3 attacks. And every time I look at it, I'm like, God damn it. If it was D3 plus 1, I'd be the happiest person in the world. But D3 just angers me.
My heavy rifle team tells you to eat a dick.
Yeah. I mean, it's going, that thing is going to fire twice per game before it dies. And mm-hmm. then I can roll a 1 and a 1, and I've spent 2 points for possibly 2 attacks. Sure, the 3 and the 3 is nice, but it's so, I hate D3. D3 plus 1 I could live with.
If he just had, double tap or something.
Yeah, I would just take 2 shots all the time.
Double tap would be a little silly on a artillery because it would just... You either shoot twice or not at all.
Right.
But, yeah, I would take a solid 2 over D3 or over a D3 any day.
Oh, yeah. But, I think most people would in most cases.
Yeah. But, no, Xerxes is pretty slick. I mean, he doesn't really... I mean, he's not going to kill a lot himself. He's got a power 15, a power 12, and his mount's pretty good. But and his impact can be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But you can't impact it. You can't ride by in a charge, correct? It's a ride by is a different order.
A ride by is different than it's not the order that's a problem. Correct. But
so, right. so if you're going the
ride by is just part of a normal advance.
Yeah.
So if you're going the Arcanon route, the charge, impact, sprint away. But then if you have the Arcanon route, then you don't have the Perilic Aura up. So then
right.
I guess he could. Yeah, you can't even bond. He could cast the Kriya's Animus.
To be fair,
charge.
You can cast something you didn't bond.
Well, he could.
He's still a warlock.
But because you can cast things
right,
after
but the
sprints.
Point is he can't use Malakarn's thing to go safe.
He can use the Archidons, though, because you can sprint and then cast another
could,
spell.
He could bond with the Archidon for the free Animus. He could start his turn, do the Kriya for the minus two, charge forward, impact a bunch of things, then cast the Archidons for free, kill his charge target, and sprint away.
Yes.
But he still then cast the Kriyas again.
Well, he wants mobility up constantly.
Right.
He could sprint back into the Kriya's range.
Yeah, because the Kriya can cover him.
But you still want to keep him on, like, at least two transfers. I mean, a five Fury is rough.
Yes.
He's hard to maneuver because he's a huge base. Is really the biggest problem that I see with him.
He so far has stayed in the fun category very solidly. He's probably not the most competitive, but he's not like a detrimental. Like there's some casters that when you play them, you're just doing a disservice to yourself on the fun level and on the game level. It's like you should be doing something else besides playing one of the few really awful casters. And there's not many, luckily. But I mean,
but there are
he is really fun.
Maybe if you get a little more practice in when you... Well, I guess you're going to fucking Jamaica. I was going to say we could get a battle report with him, but another month.
Andy got him assembled for me now. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, I'm going to try to play Abby 2 this week and see if I can get decent enough with her to do a battle report with her.
I will have Helga Saturday, I have been told.
We could just record.
That's too bad because I actually got a Helga.
You could record your first game with her on a battle report.
I
could do that.
I might get a painted Helga as a wedding present.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And if it is painted by Saturday, I will bring my carver and we will use those fuckers as cake toppers.
Nice.
Adorable. Yeah, no. This is pretty slick. I mean, mobility is an amazing. Mobility is so. Turn one running.
Yeah.
Running the mammoth, like basically, 10 inches is pretty stupid.
Yeah,
or 12 inches.
Mobility
I played with a mammoth. I was thinking of doing double mammoths, but I probably won't. But I had a mammoth in my first game, and it was pretty ridiculous.
Is mammoths are speed 4 normal?
Speed 4, yeah.
Yeah.
12 inches.
Animatrix.
Yeah, I could double the animatrixes up there.
Mobility doesn't affect the animatrixes. No.
I am very excited to see what is Steam 4. I mean, obviously everyone. I mean, the Theme Force is the thing I'm most excited about in the next book.
Yeah.
Ditto my caster.
I got to see my Theme Force, and it was pretty cool.
Excellent, Texas. Because the forces of
you get a second Merc unit.
Yep.
I know that's what you were really hoping for.
So I have a Merry Christmas. Ready to go.
So you can bring Boomhauers and Alexia.
I could do that, but things though finding points for them is the
you
hardest
don't
part.
Need other units.
Drop one of your monstrosities.
No.
Because when your judges die from the Adrenal Flood, you get corpse tokens from them. I think. I'd have to double check if Adrenal Flood, like RFPs or anything like that, but they should. They aren't just destroyed, it RFPs
them. That they're actually used as they are gone, they're removed from play.
Oh, never mind.
Lame.
So you can't get any souls or anything from them.
So Travis heard you make a mistake. He paused the podcast and is typing you a message saying, "Ha, you made a mistake." Then he'll keep listening going, "Damn it, he caught himself."
I'm in a debate in the judges forum and I texted Travis and I'm like, "Travis, do you agree with me?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, then say something." So then he goes to the thread quotes and he just goes, "I agree." Like, say more, dickhead.
He said all he needs to.
Oh, well.
So we'll do that. We'll do, like, the next couple of weeks here.
I want to at least put Abby on the table once before I talk about
I can take my paints to Jamaica and paint up Xerxes.
I don't need to play Helga to talk about her. I just need to masturbate.
Well, right. I'm really excited about Abby, too. Like,
it's exciting as a pig player winning a book.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what else comes out. So far, minions are winning this book. Both of those casters
are
great.
Casters are legit.
Both those battle engines look legit.
I would argue that of those four things, the pig battle engine is by far second place behind the other three.
Yes. I think Jaga Yaga is not as good as people think she is.
Really?
I think that she's going to cast the spell Doohickeyer, and she's going to upkeep something, and then her feet might be amazing and might just be a minor nuisance.
It depends on what she faces.
Her feet is situational. It could be the greatest feat in the history of the game, or it could be, I guess I got one random dude, depending on what you're facing.
Yeah. It's like P-Hexy, that feat will be amazing. I'm fighting against all Legion Beasts. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, I was going to say against Legion.
And I'll worry that she'll be Fury starved. I think she has an upkeeper too. She wants to upkeep. It will. We'll see. That'll depend. The Sacred Vault, it is very important whether the pulling during your activation is just at the beginning of your activation or if you can do it the entire time during your turn, keep yanking off of that thing, because that gets psychotic if that's the case.
To me, it sounds like it would probably be similar to the Rax, where you can only pull them off at the start of the activation.
We'll have to see, because if you could just pull off freely during your activation, those things are fucking insane.
Yeah. Yes. Then you just have like a Fury 20 caster that's going to go out there and go...
I thought from what I originally read, it was you got to pull one off a turn. I thought it was a limit of one per turn. But I mean,
we'll see.
Those things are spoiled so long ago and so questionable that we have to wait.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Exigence will be out fairly soon.
We're within a month of the street date, and you know a week before it's street date, it's going to be
the
spoiled
whole book will be spoiled. Yeah,
so we're probably too.
Soon. I'm actually very nervous about Abby's Theme Force because I worry that it's going to be very restrictive in the Fury Management Department.
Yeah, it probably will.
No, you'll have
Forsaken. I think you'll have Forsaken, but no Shepherds.
But
she can probably bring like 8 Forsakens or something.
Like if she can bring more than 2 Forsaken, it'll be fine. But that's my one concern because she wants to bring a huge battle group.
Yep.
Fine. In fact, she wants to bring lots of beasts as opposed to just like the average Legion caster is just
wait.
I know, right?
You're telling me a Legion caster wants to take a lot of beasts?
The difference is going to be she's going
to
bring.
I have to text somebody.
She's going
to
bring a unit of lessers. Like a max unit of lessers.
Hey,
it's going
to
be amazing.
You were supposed to talk about her next week.
I'm going to, but anyway,
let's get our zoobiddle goobiddles done.
Okay,
and then we can do some recommendations.
Zappy caboodles.
I got them. Can go home.
Ah, Jeremy,
where are you starting?
Huh?
There's
only 3 on Twitter, so those will be real quick. William Hahn asks, "Have you tried the board game Mansions of Madness?"
I think only I'm the one at this table who's tried it. The experience that I've had with that game has been awful. However, I do not know if it was the person who explained the game to us fault or the game's fault. So I need to play it a third time from someone new to give it a chance. But currently, I think it's awful, but I need to give it a chance from somebody else.
That's the one where like the person running, the evil player just basically got infinite giant monsters and there was nothing the good guys could do about
it. As a human, as the player trying to get through it, all you really wanted to do was you wanted to run away from everything, never stop and fight. You just wanted to run. And I get that you don't want to always stand and fight against things, so that makes some sense. Like you're more of a fleeing from the monster. It's more of like a kind of a Silent Hill. You're not trying to stand and fight. You only have like little weapons. But
maybe stop and slow them down every now and again.
There should be some kind of balance. So yeah. I just don't know if the person who explained the game to us was missing some key rule. But it seemed unfun in the way I've been taught it.
Wasn't that the same game where somebody won the game by completing a puzzle?
No, that's Android.
Okay,
But and I know a lot of people who play and love Mansions of Madness. But I'm always like, I don't understand.
Was that the person in question, the same person who explained how Combat Inferior Dracula worked to you?
I don't know. No,
it was somebody else.
No.
Oh, okay, never
mind. No, Combat Inferior Dracula was just more so we just misread
that
it.
I wasn't sure. Yeah. Okay.
No.
This is the same person who said that it was useless to shoot a shark.
Well, that I knew. I knew that was that person. I wasn't sure if that person was
confusing
blame
everyone, but that's way too long of a story.
Zappity.
Yeah, grumble.
All right. Do any of you ever want kids?
I have either 1 or 4, depending on how you're defining it.
I have 2 puppies and 2 kitties.
As horrible as it sounds, I wouldn't mind having a kid. I think it'd be...
Why does that sound horrible?
Well, look at me. Look at a dirty biker. I was more thinking
lack of a significant assistance.
Well, that yes, obviously that too.
There is a park right across from here. You can find children everywhere. And the parents always seem annoyed by them, so I'm pretty sure they're okay if they get rid of at least one of them.
Yeah.
I would like someone to... Sometimes it'd be nice to have someone clean up the crap for me.
Wow.
Zappity.
Grumble. Prefer to win via caster kill scenario or doesn't matter.
I actually, my favorite way to win is via forfeit. When you know you've really crushed your opponent's soul.
I kind of like the forfeit win as well.
I got Nate to forfeit one time in a tournament and it was glorious.
It's I've got a lot of people to forfeit. It's like, I pop my feet, I'm done. Like, your feet does what? Oh crap. Let's go eat. And I've been in that reverse spot too. I've been on both ends of that one.
Yep.
Yeah, ditto.
I scooped at the last major tournament I went to, or second to last major tournament I went to. I scooped one.
Yep.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Will Helga make a splash on the tournament scene?
No, because she's in Pigs.
Pigs are fine. You know,
every
wait
model
see
that
on
faction
the table.
Gets makes them better.
Will we see her played in tournaments? Yes. Will she be Gorshade 3 where 50% of the field is fielding her? No.
I don't, because even if 90% of pig players
runner,
bring her,
that means 2 in a 16-person tournament.
At most, yeah.
I don't think she's gonna make a splash like Rask will. Or has
it
already? Has.
It kind of depends what else is in the book, because... Yes.
A new beast that's really crazy could help her, a new...
Pigs, they have the best casters in the game. Like, their average caster strength is insanely high.
Agreed.
And just the rest of the contract is pulling them back a little, but they've got so much almost there in them that that's what's frustrating about them. They're like, oh, they're almost good.
The funny thing is, what comes out in the book could make another pig caster get played more than her, because, like you said, the pig casters are so good that, like, if you release a model that's just, like, in one of the other casters' niches, then that caster is just going to blow up and be amazing.
Anything is good with Slam.
Well, yeah. I don't disagree.
Zappy. Crumble. Ali Knox asked us to put timestamps on our podcast. They're really helpful.
I used to do that.
Feel free, Ali.
And I am afraid that I was slowly going insane, more so than I am already. So we have a lot of listeners that, like, take notes in our podcast. If any of you want to do timestamps, please feel free. We'll even insert it at the top of the thread once we get them from you. But I no longer have the patience for it.
I keep thinking about bumping the recommendations consolidation thread and catching it up. But the longer I wait to do it, the more episodes I have to add up there. So I
rely on
our
great fans to do work for us.
You're slacking, Pip. That was your thread.
That was Pip's thread.
It was. Yeah.
I feel like he's not as pippy, by the way.
As he used to be?
Yeah, well, is it because if you've made it through 83 of our episodes...
I was going to say, that would crush your soul.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Have we broken Pip?
Hey, he commented on one of my Facebook posts the other day.
Yeah. He's still, if he's killed himself, he's just broken in soul and spirit. There's a difference. Gotcha. He still exists.
Happy, Pip.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, I was like, man, I haven't heard from Pip in a while.
I know that he shares my lust for Sue Perkins.
Okay, then.
Oh.
Zappity. Right,
it's a British lesbian.
Grumble.
I assume she's a lesbian. Oh.
So that goes into this other part here. Is your favorite bit of British culture? A band, actor, TV series, game, etc.?
I'll have to go with Doctor Who before Nathan says it.
Then I'll go with the Beatles.
Damn it!
I'll go with Sherlock.
We'll just skip each other to the right. Katie, you have to steal Sherlock from Jeremy.
Sherlock is my next one. I know we're going in order.
I grabbed it for a reason, damn it.
We're stealing in order.
Damn it.
Yeah.
You have to steal Andy's British culture. Good luck.
I think we've only named the three British culture things that Jeremy could possibly have
my
known.
Mind
There's
got to
be some British metal band that Andy was
I know,
go
that's
with.
What I'm thinking, but I don't know who they would be.
Warhammer
British,
Quest.
A British metal band.
No, you have to name a British heavy metal band.
No, I win. British metal band, done.
No.
You can name one.
You can name one
British band, you'll win. One British metal band.
I don't
band.
Know. Is Metalocalypse British?
No, they would be.
They don't even exist.
Yeah.
They're
called Death Clock.
Whatever.
They're
from, I don't know.
They're from
I don't
Sweden.
Know. But
anyway.
The one that the British metal band that Andy's going to pick, that's my favorite.
Which band is that, Andy?
I still want you to name at least one.
I don't want to spend 15 minutes watching him try to remember a band.
I can barely remember the Beatles' name.
I'll even give you one. He could probably go with Motorhead. So that's one there. And then also Iron Maiden.
I went with Iron Maiden, for the record.
Motorhead has Lemmy.
Yeah, I like both, but it was a tough decision.
To quote Airheads, who would win in a fight, Lemmy or God?
Queen. We're asking you.
Who would win in a fight, Lemmy or God?
I don't know.
Trick question. Lemmy is God.
Ah, nice.
Zappity.
Grumble. best new board game you saw at Gen Con? Favorite game at Gen Con? I think we just went over those.
Yeah. I would say Caverna was my favorite that I saw there. I liked lots of things with Caverna.
The new game that I want to play that I'm intrigued with that I haven't played is XCOM.
Hey, guys, what about that great new game Skidmarks, huh?
Once we get a demo to play, we'll talk about it.
I just wanted to plug for poor Devil Squid.
Well, no, we want to admit, we did actually watch the demo of Skidmarks.
Yeah, he told us, he walked us through, we stopped by his booth, he gave us like a 5-10. Yeah. We only talk about games that are going to be released if we get to demo it.
Yeah, yes. I definitely would like to play it when it's fully done. I mean, it was definitely in its beta phase.
It was very, very... I would call it alpha.
Like post-it notes. And,
yes. Yeah. There were literally post-it notes.
Cut a piece of paper.
Like, it was very alpha. Yeah.
Way to go.
He has the rules figured out. He already knows all the rules, which is the key. The rest of it just comes in production.
Yep. And it sounds like that he has like a whole bunch of art down the pipeline too for it.
And he is going down a genre of games where there isn't really a lot of car chase a lot of that out there.
No.
At least good ones.
Not since Car Wars went away decades ago.
It's Mario Kart in board game form.
Yeah, That is a good description of it, actually.
Cool. Which is a good thing to say.
Which is a very good thing to say.
Yeah.
There's even a blue shell, although he doesn't call it a blue shell.
Fucking blue shell. I'm never playing skid marks in my life.
That means bullshit. That means it's the one game your girlfriend will play.
Maybe.
That's because of the blue shell. Yeah, it's true.
No, I meant because that's the one video game every girl plays.
I know. It's Mario Kart. Yes, I'm aware.
No, I thought it was laughed. Candy Crush. Well, it wasn't funny. Zappity.
If you could remove zombies, pirates, vampires from pop culture, which would it be and why?
I'd remove zombies. Zombies are the stupidest thing in the world. The only way they make zombies cool is if they make them move fast. And dead people don't move fast.
No, I agree.
I disagree. I like slow zombies.
I like slow zombies a lot. I don't mind.
You run away from the slow zombie, you got ahead. Eventually, you need to go, whew, I have to catch my breath. They don't.
Yeah, but they're like 20 miles away. But like, it'll take them 3 days to get there.
But then you run into another horde of them.
Like, you can walk faster than they can. You don't even have to run.
Look at the new Dawn. Here's what I like, the kind of zombie movie I like, and why I zombies originally, the concept of zombies, they should represent inevitability of death. They're the personification of your inevitable death. Like, if you look at the new Dawn of the Dead, even make them slow, when they're stuck in that mall and they look out and there's hundreds of thousands of zombies surrounding them and they have a finite number of bullets and a finite number of meals in that mall, there's a point where you realize that you are fucked. You are going to die. Against a vampire, like, well, maybe I got a stake, maybe I got a crucifix, I got a chance against Dracula. You have zero chance against a horde of zombies surrounding you. And that's what's scary, is the inevitability of your own death. To me. That's why zombies are always, the zombie genre is good to me. I would get rid of vampires because Twilight already fucking ruined them.
Nope. I'll disagree to that. Have you watched any of The Strain?
No.
Watch The Strain.
Vampire Diaries is pretty good.
I mean,
they've been tainted
to me by pop culture.
Try watch The Strain. Seriously, just pick it up.
But I agree with you. Yeah, what? A zombie is not scary. You're right about that. But the way I view zombies is
as a
personification of my own mortality.
Because then, like, what keeps a zombie alive? Like eating live people, right?
Well, there's always
like why can't they eat cows?
Well, a lot of the zombies eat everything, which is one in a really very in a very bad movie, unfortunately, by George Romero. One of the gimmicks is they spend the entire movie trying to train a zombie to eat a horse.
Because if they eat a horse, they won't have to eat people anymore.
So he eats the horse, like, yeah, he ate a horse, and then the guy died because, well, they still eat people, too.
Right?
They were going to just stop eating people and just eat horses. Now they just have more food source.
I am in a listener's signature quoted specifically saying, do not talk about zombie movie science. So
yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't anymore.
No. I will agree that there are some vampire movies like Twilight have definitely weakened. It's like werewolves. Werewolf movies, yeah. If you make 100 vampire movies, 10 of them might be good. You make 100 werewolf movies, one of them might be good.
The key, I think, to making a good werewolf movie, and I think this is almost 100% true, because if you look at the original Wolfman and you look at American Werewolf in London and whatnot, if being a werewolf sucks ass.
Correct.
If it is a curse, not a woo, I get to run around and I'm really cool
with,
and fast.
That's the same thing with vampires. So many things with vampires.
It is a bad thing. You are not happy about it. It is painful. It is ostracizing. It is horrific to be a werewolf. That's why American Werewolf 1 and the original Wolfman are great.
Also,
I mean, again, Vampire Diaries solves all of this.
Well, like Fright Night is actually a really good tale of a vampire.
Harry Potter treats vampires that way.
Yeah.
Wolfen is a great one.
Yeah.
And Dog Soldiers.
Sure.
Someone's like, he mentioned Dog Soldiers. I love Dog Soldiers. You're
three
welcome.
People like Dog Soldiers.
And they are like great people.
Yes.
Werewolf ones is when they make them into actually just like normal sized wolves.
I hate that so much.
It's just like, that's not what a werewolf is. Like, at the very least, it's a huge, huge wolf, but it's really a wolf man
kind of thing. Either go the wolf man lycanthrope or go with like a fucking bear sized monstrosity. Again, like the one in American Werewolf in London, like, is the size of a car. Like, he'll mess you up.
By the way, there's Alvin and the Chipmunks where Simon turns into a little werewolf.
A chipmunk werewolf.
He would be a monk wolf. Because the were in werewolf means man.
Simon's the
nerdy one.
No, who's the
Theodore's the little
Theodore.
The little crappy
Theodore.
One.
Theodore.
Yeah. Theodore's a little crappy.
Turns
one.
Into a little werewolf. It's
That's
so
kind
cute.
Of funny.
Zappity, I guess. Oh yeah, you. Yeah.
I want to say probably my favorite. We went into a subject that doesn't really go in here was werewolves, but
my favorite werewolf movie is still Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Brotherhood of the Wolf is so good.
I wouldn't call it a werewolf movie, but I would call it a wolf movie, which you really don't have a wolf movie subculture, so I guess I can sneak into it.
But that's what the whole thing is based on.
It's, spoiler. It's
the beast, hey.
The Beast of Javadon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a giant wolf.
Yeah.
Which is, but it is a great movie. Don't get me wrong, I love that movie.
It also has one of my favorite fades to a new scene, which is when Monica Bellucci's tits turn into mountains. Like, it fades out on her boobs and fades in on the mountains because they're the same size and shape.
Yeah.
Jagged?
No. Zappity. Grumble.
Board game tutorial videos from Pip.
Hey, we, Pip.
Hey, you're alive.
He heard us.
Yay!
Thanks, Pip.
I would love if we mentioned it last week. We want to do more board game stuff. It's just the videos take time.
We need to do more of everything stuff. But between me getting married and now Brian's going to Jamaica and the Shays do their
Katie had two classes
things where they go away for a weekend so Katie can play board games and I'm sure you did more than that, Mr. Watch your girlfriend play board games for a weekend.
Well, he watched her do it, so it was a couples thing.
Yeah. That's like when I'd have my friends over and be like, yeah, you can watch me play Super Mario Brothers. We're doing something together, right?
You guys are so romantic.
You were helping.
He's a helper.
We're humble.
Well, actually, we are going to work on getting humble and stuff like that.
Yes.
It's just more so finding the time.
Yeah.
Which next month we should be working a little bit more.
Better. Yeah.
Starting in October, my time frees up.
Perfect.
Verbal Kent. Was it just me, or did he talk too much?
There was zero reason. Yeah.
Who's
what
Kent?
Is that from?
It's from
Verbal
Usual
Kent
Suspects.
Is Usual Suspects. It's Kevin Spacey's
Kevin
character.
Spacey.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He talked too much.
He did. Well, that's why they called him Verbal. He's always talking.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that the one about the hook and a dysentery? I love that character. Fenster is one of my favorite characters.
That
Fenster
whole
and McManus
movie.
Are so great.
The whole movie is fantastic.
I would watch the first. Oh my god! Just a montage of just all the Fenster McManus scenes and just oh.
That is a movie. Like Katie's been talking about rating her like replayability of board games. Like there's a replayability of movies. Like I'm not saying that Usual Suspects is my top five movies of all time. Although it might be. I'm not sure. I'd have to think about it. But it's one of the most rewatchable
movies
of all
time. It's eminently watchable.
It's
so many great quotes. So many great quotes. So many great scenes.
It's like Kindergarten Cop. You can't get enough of it.
The twist is retroactively stupid. People have dissected it apart. It's cool. It was cool when it happened. We're like, wow, what a twist. And now you're like, wow, that was really stupid because why would anybody have done that? It was pointless and dumb, and it undermines the whole movie. I don't get it. But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because it's amazing.
The movie's just great. All the characters are great. All the scenes are great. Yeah. The music, the filming.
Yes.
It's just a very, very good
it's a
movie.
Very well done movie.
Somebody brought up Multiplicity the other day. I thought of you.
He touched my peppy Dave.
Well, I tried to watch it. I just need to rent it because it's not for free on Amazon Prime or on Netflix.
I thought of you guys because I posted on my Facebook, but somebody just put a whole bunch of like quotes from Twitter where people said, you know, brilliant things, and one of them was like the first 2 months of a relationship is just the guy saying, what do you mean you haven't seen insert movie here?
Except that's our entire relationship.
Yes. And watching that and watching her play board games.
Yeah, apparently.
Zabity.
Grumble.
Opinion on the viability of playing Troll Buds using only multi-wound models and pigs.
Isn't that pretty much
that's pretty much
the
meat mountain.
Pretty much meat mountain.
And I don't know if you know this, but it's fucking amazing.
He wants to use obviously the pygmies, the bushwhackers, and the
so it's basically trolls, but without Creel Warriors, Scouts, Fenblades, or Scattergunners.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I mean,
Hunter's Grim can play that way.
They're perfectly fine. The bushwhackers are solid, I think. Still, I mean, they're Rat 4 sucks, but if you start getting a bunch of them combining range.
I lost the game literally because of pig bushwhackers.
Bushwhackers are worse Nyss hunters, except that they are friendly faction, which can be important.
Yeah, yes. It can be buffed up. Yep. And Digmies, man, there's so many games out there that have won with just Digmies.
Yeah, Digmies are.
Well, amazing. Actually, I got fucked over by the bushwhack rule on pig bushwhackers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. When it comes up, it's
huge.
It's,
when it comes
it's
up.
One of those rules that comes up one game out of 20, but when it does, it's a game breaker.
Yeah, it was like I'm gonna shoot at you. And then the whole unit moves into the zone. I was just like, fuck, there goes the game.
All right. Does anybody
grumble?
Favorite power metal band?
Andy.
Probably just goes to me.
Yep.
I like Iron Savior.
Yes, he does.
Pretty awesome. So does anybody
grumble?
Favorite Soul Calibur 2 character?
Voldo.
I don't actually play Soul Calibur 2.
Voldo's a pretty good choice.
I like, oh my god, I can't remember his name, but he's
I keep
saying Astaroth.
Can I just insert Earthquake from Samurai Swords 2?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go with
Samurai Showdown.
Samurai Showdown, sorry, yeah. I'm just going with Earthquake. I know it's the wrong game, but I love that guy.
I'm going to go
with
Scorpion.
Sure.
Get over here!
I've played a lot of Soul Calibur 2. I just can't think of anyone's character's name.
I don't actually play Soul Calibur
2. I recognize the name of the video game, so...
Good on ya!
Good job, Katie.
Zap.
But it had a 2 in it.
Katie, you haven't played Soul Calibur 2.
Same as in Soul Calibur 4, because then he could have cheated and said Darth Vader and Yoda.
Nice.
Zappity.
Grumble. People come to theaters for cold soda, hot popcorn, and no monsters showing movies.
What?
I don't know what Stuart's
I feel like all
about.
Of that is
Zappity.
Wait, no. Excuse you. Really? None of you?
What did he say it again?
That is... Okay, go ahead. I'll give you a hint. This is a Hulk Hogan quote.
All right. Is this in Gremlins 2?
It's in Gremlins 2! When the Gremlins are destroying the movie itself and Hulk Hogan yells at them.
That's different.
In the home video, it's different.
Yeah, because if you have the VHS copy of that, it's a completely different setup there. They don't actually show
the what's the actual quote? It says,
people come to the theaters for cold soda, hot popcorn, and no monsters showing movies.
All right.
Yeah. All right, then.
I had to do kind of a Hogan
stuff. Well, then I would have got it.
Yeah, Zappity.
Gumbo.
Brother. is the podcast community doing another fantasy football league this year? I should start.
Yeah, we drafted last week.
Well, yeah,
it wasn't really. It was.
I can,
just
start up a crippled system over on Yahoo. Yeah. If some people, I don't know if Jeremy would want
to. I mean,
join into it.
Maybe I don't know. Fantasy football for me is one of those things that I don't really get all that excited about.
Fantasy football ruins football for me.
I don't mind it. Like, I just don't care about it either. And fantasy football is one of those things that if you don't care about, you just automatically get last place.
Other than the league, which is the best result.
Which is amazing.
Yes,
yeah, I'm okay with
that. That's the best aspect of fantasy
football. That's different, though.
I'll do a fantasy hockey league next year.
We did that. We started one of those.
Alex Schaefer would love that.
Wow. If we started a fantasy hockey league, it didn't go very far.
Did you not
you
draft?
It. No, we started. We drafted and everything. And they were like, well, what's happening?
No, I think I won that.
Team. I don't know. Well, maybe we all beat a team and then didn't get touched for the entire time, and then it was all the starting draft went out.
You won
I never...
with 1 point. You win. You picked a player once.
Yeah, if we played that, it let Alex have like all the points, and we'd all be -7.
Wow.
Zappity.
Gumball.
So you find yourself in the Iron Kingdoms, and you have to make a living. What race are you, and what do you do? I have already decided. Mine was I want to be a Bogtrog Warcaster. Not a Warlock.
I want to train the Argi. Argus.
I believe that.
You want to live in Kador?
No.
Isn't that where the Argi are trained?
Well,
the ones that are actually trained.
The ones that are actually trained.
The circle ones don't really get trained
so much as unleashed.
They get trained.
You want two-headed puppies?
I want two-headed puppies. I want to take care of the two-headed puppies.
Is Iron Lish a race?
Can I be a Satixis prostitute?
Yeah.
A tug stick that's got a rope one way and then two ropes this way.
Yeah.
Is Turok a character class? Can I be Turok?
Speaking of Turok, here's an interesting thing. Well, it's not really that interesting, but too late. I'm rereading Dune right now. And Duncan Idaho is befriended by the Fremen because he treats one Fremen leader well, like during a battle against the Harkonnen, and he gives him honors and everything. And Stilgar's like, wow, we're really impressed. You can join us. That Fremen soldier's name, Turok.
That's right.
T-U-R-O-K. Yeah. Just like the dragon.
I read Dune once. That's my story.
I like Dune a lot. I've reread it many, many times.
You read some chapters to me aloud once.
I did try. I tried to convince Katie to like it by starting reading it to her, and she fell asleep, so that didn't go very far.
I just got to that part of the page. It's like, his name was Turok. I'm like, whoa!
She was too busy playing Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, later on, the Duke Leto and Baron Harkonnen play Ticket to Ride against each other for the fate of Arrakis.
And he calls him a cunt.
Well, that's because they're playing the Europe version.
He uses the Fremen. He uses the
American
Bene Gesserit
version,
voice.
And it was because she cock-blocked you.
No, we were playing the Europe version.
No, we were not. We didn't own the Europe version yet. We were playing the American version, and... You called her a cunt because she cockblocked you.
That sounds like a thing that I would do.
I thought it was your version.
Yeah,
I'm not going to argue. I don't know enough.
Somebody needs to make a Dune Ticket to Ride version with like spice trays.
I'm right on it.
I'm done.
I'm on it.
Some worms.
But yeah, just a little worms. You're just laying worms next to each other.
That'd be amazing.
And then you pour water on the all day.
Aww.
Grumble.
Is the Gen and Gen Con short for gender? That is not the case. It's short for Lake Geneva.
It started in Lake Geneva, so it's been Geneva Convention.
Huh. Yeah.
That's kind of funny when you think about the...
Because then it moved to Milwaukee, and then it moved down to...
Yeah. That's one thing that people don't know about Gen
I didn't know that.
About Gen Con, which was more obnoxious when they were putting it, like had, like, the San Diego Gen Con as well. It was like, no, it's Geneva.
And a funny thing about the Geneva Convention is that it's not called the Geneva Convention. There was not a Geneva Convention where they made up the rules. The rules are called the Geneva Conventions.
Oh, interesting. I assume there was a convention about the convention.
Most people do.
Grumble.
And that's it.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Does everybody grumble? So we go into recommendations.
Yes.
I recommend, there's a comedian named Mike Birbiglia, and he has a specific show he did called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. It's on Netflix right now. I started watching. I was desperately trying to watch stand-up, and I wanted stand-up, and I kept turning things on, watching for 10 minutes, saying, this isn't funny, and then turning them off. Mm-hmm. And I turned it on, and I watched for 10 minutes, and I'm like, this isn't really funny, but it's really, really interesting. And I watched the whole fucking thing, and it is not the funniest stand-up show I've ever seen by far, but it is one of the most amazing spoken word storytelling shows I've ever seen. He just did a great, 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 great job. It's really interesting. Really fascinating, really, and there's parts where it's laugh out loud hysterical, but the whole thing isn't just stand up comedy.
That
actually
this.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. What's the name of it?
It's Mike Birbiglia is the guy, and the show itself is My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. He's okay. Most well known. He's on the Bob and Tom show a lot. He does his journal, like we'll read a line from his journal on there and everything. But this show is just really, really good.
By the way, never when someone says from Bob and Tom, that's not taking a guy up a notch. That's not. Yeah. That's lowering the bar.
I've listened to them a lot because their sketches and their songs and everything are terrible. But when they are just talking about the news and everything, because they've been a group for so long that, like, this interaction, when they have it and it's just natural conversation, they are amazing.
I would agree.
Which is why it's so frustrating that then they play some shitty comedy sketch that's terrible.
Some shitty comedy sketch.
And that they bray like jackasses
just,
over.
And they all just are chuckleheads.
They're
all chuckleheads.
I will say, I'm only in the car 10 to 15 minutes in the morning, so I don't listen to much radio in general. And sometimes the station I listen to gets annoying in its own right, so I'll turn up Bob and Tom. And occasionally, they have comedian guests a lot.
Yes.
And the comedian guests, when they are telling some story, it's usually pretty hilarious. Yeah. So that's the only reason I ever go back to them. But
when they're not
in
doing
general,
a sketch,
they drive me up.
When they're not doing sketches or laughing over their own sketches, when they're just talking, they're actually really a good group of their personalities meld really well. But
well, that was a great thing about Connie and Fish back when Connie and Fish were...
Holy fuckballs.
I enjoyed Connie and Fish together. I thought they were very
zappy. Hold on, I'm going to murder everyone in the world.
I did.
104.
I watch the Bobby Bones show now, as long as we're talking about radio shows. Or watch, listen to on the way.
Anyway, my girlfriend's boyfriend, Mike Birbiglia.
That is...
I don't know if he's in that. Is it...
It's him. It's his thing.
Yeah, it's his
It's his thing, but he's not the one starring in it.
My girlfriend's boyfriend is literally a one-man spoken word piece by Mike Birbiglia.
It'd be under the stand-up comedian section. Anyway, I'm going to recommend How to Train Your Dragon 2. I had something else that I was going to recommend, but I have forgotten what that is, so it must not be that awesome. But How to Train Your Dragons 2 is really, really cute. It was Jeremy and I saw it today, and whereas the first one was like a coming-of-age tale, this one takes place 5 years later and is more like a... they do a very good transition. It's like clearly a different time period, and they're not trying to just say the same story again. It's like the characters have grown, and that growth continues. But there was a kid in the theater, and there's something that happens that's very sad in the movie, and the kid was very, very, very sad.
He was literally crying
in
the theater.
He was crying. He was so cute. I mean, so, we went to the cheap theaters. That's why it's okay that there's a child crying. So.
Side note, there's a movie from 2010 that's on Netflix called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the 2013 Netflix original single man spoken performance, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend.
So probably should look it up. If you're looking up on IMDb as a Mike, whatever his last name is. Because I was like, oh, it's Alyssa Milano film.
No.
So I'm looking through the cast here, I'm like, I don't see
on a side note, Alyssa Milano is very hot.
Well, if you're watching Embrace the Vampire 1, it's
quality TV. Oh, I remember what I'm going to recommend. Vampire Diaries. That's what I recommend. You guys laugh at me. It's a great show.
I enjoyed it too, actually. I'm willing to admit that. I'm man enough to admit that.
No, you're woman enough to admit that, Mr. I watch tween girl movies about friggin' what was Divergence?
I still haven't seen it.
But you read the books.
I read the books, yeah.
Minnie Cooper and your mojitos.
You and you read Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, and you're like, I remember when I got my first period. Oh, jeez. It's like Judy Blume knows me.
To be fair, I don't think I've ever read that one, but I do enjoy Judy Blume books.
Yeah, that's the one where they must increase their bust.
I don't know why. I really haven't read that one.
They chant in it.
They chant that?
They go, we must increase their bust.
Because they still got the small, they haven't gotten their breasts yet.
I get the joke, yeah, but wow.
They're very cute books.
I mean, I read several Judy Blume books, I just never read that one.
Mm-hmm. That's still not. That is not a good sentence.
I was a kid.
To be fair, when I was like 12, I was such a voracious reader. I read anything I could get my hands on, so I read.
Isn't she the one who wrote like Fudge and Super Fudge and those ones?
I don't know, but
I think she did.
I actually did read Are You There, God?
I found at that age.
I found all Nancy Drew when I was a kid.
I found all those Choose Your Adventure books, and I was like, "Holy crap! I can't stop!"
Oh God,
the time tunnel ones, Wizards of Warrior.
Choose Your Own Adventure. So I was. I had to listen to wonderful books on audio on the way to Gen Con and on the way back, and they are incredibly boring.
I imagine, unless you pick the book, it wouldn't be very exciting.
Unless you pick the book, and, you know, he did try, the person that I was writing with did try to pick up books that I might have...
I was going to say, because Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But listening to books in the car is really hard. Like, I used to do it when I had a half-hour drive every morning, and it is still not very entertaining. Like, I picked up the books, and it was not...
Yeah. But if it was something that you're generally interested in,
right.
You could probably get through it, but you don't want to do it with a passenger in the car.
Not generally.
But I was thinking, it would be awesome if you would also tap into your phone's microphone, where you could do...
Voice command, choose your own adventure.
Voice command, choose your own adventure.
That would be kind of cool, actually.
I think that would be an amazing thing to do in a car. Because that way you would be interactive. You could probably have, like, some type of thing where...
Speaking of interactive, they have, like, a zombie run where you actually are supposed to, like, run and it'll alert you.
Yeah, I heard
like,
about that.
Like, a zombie to your left, you have to turn right down the street. So they have kind of interactive apps.
When you go for a jog,
when you go for a jog. Like, you literally run away from
and
zombies.
And even Lust plays some kind of thing where it's, like, a running... It can be running or walk app, and it actually tells us... It's also kind of story-based, and it somehow incorporates storytelling into your running, walking, and doing stuff. So it's kind of... It's not quite what you're saying, but people are going kind of that route with some stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, I would love an audiobook that had a choose your own adventure that you would be able to just, you know, choose your own adventure in the audiobook. I think that would be kind of neat.
Hopefully they don't get too involved and they turn left and they fly into the traffic.
Right? I have a thing about books that we read as children. I read the Animorphs series as a child, and I share a Netflix account with my brother, and he has a little girl. And she started watching the Animorphs series on Netflix, and so now I have two. That's my story. It's very exciting.
That was a classic Katie story for our listeners.
Wait, we're not even on
Zephyr. Nope. Doesn't matter.
It's just a grumble.
Well, Katie stole my recommendation because I thought she was going to recommend Vampire Diaries, and then she recommended How to Train Your Dragon 2, so thank you for that.
But then she also recommended Vampire Diaries.
I'm aware
Diaries.
That she did.
So you're welcome.
So you're welcome.
And I recommend Animorphs
for
13-year-olds.
Specifically.
That's the appropriate age.
So I can't remember if we recommended
13-year-olds.
We know
I can't remember if we've recommended this. We probably have. But if you haven't watched it, House, the television
the
series.
Comedy horror film with George Wendt?
No, yeah, the TV one. Show.
Find House 3, I dare you.
No.
Find it. You can find House 1, 2, and 4. Just try to find House 3. I'll give you $100.
Anyway, House, I think the technical name of the show might be House MD.
It is House MD.
But House MD is amazing. I've been rewatching it because Katie had never seen it. And I love that show. It's really, really good.
I like Hugh Laurie when he was on The Young Ones.
I like Hugh Laurie when he was on Blackadder. I do like there's a scene where he and his buddy, the oncologist, you know, the one who
Wilson.
Was in Dead Heat.
Wilson.
When they're Wilson's at his place and they're like scrolling through his Netflix and he has a whole his TiVo and he has a whole bunch of episodes of Blackadder and Fry and Laurie and stuff
nice.
On his TiVo.
That's kind of funny. I never noticed that.
Subtle humor.
So is that it?
That was my recommendation.
It's a good show.
It's really good. It's a little bit more serious show, but it definitely has its humorous elements.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's a medical drama, so think like ER, something like that,
with fewer helicopter fatalities.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, what the, as opposed to ER, where to as opposed to ER, where there's lots of like, oh my god, action craziness going on. Usually they just have the one case. There are definitely moments of like, well,
they have two cases always.
Yes.
Because
there's always the side
case. Crappy, goofy side case always teaches him what he needs to know about the important case.
He occasionally doesn't have a side case, and then you really wonder how they're going to teach him anything.
Like, my favorite.
Well, one, sometimes they don't have any. They don't. They're not related in any way.
And yeah. They get the later seasons get more plot also going on. But originally, it's really more just here's two cases and House is grumpy, and then he solves the case. It's the end.
But they're very enjoyable to watch. And the show is one of the few shows I've seen survive a massive cast change, which I won't spoil exactly how all that comes to be, but there's a massive cast change, which most shows is just the kiss of death.
Yeah.
And
well,
the show,
especially when House gets, you know, Pee Wee Herman plays him.
It's like, yeah, it's weird.
Ask Pee Wee Herman. No, it's Pee Wee Herman.
Hey, interesting side note. Somebody told me the other day, so I don't know how reliable this information is because I don't even remember who told me, that Scrubs has more... accurate medical information in the show.
It was me.
It was you?
Oh, I've read that online many times that Scrubs is a much more accurate show medically than almost any other doctor show.
It's kind of scary.
Well, to be fair, they mention the medical stuff so rarely that it wouldn't be hard just to make sure.
They actually put some effort into it.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like when House, they would have to be so careful because every episode they mention a thousand medical things. Yeah. Scrubs, just every once in a while, they're like, by the way, blah, blah. And that's it.
By the way, medicine.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a really good show. I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. There is definitely a season that, in my opinion, sort of jumps the shark. Those of you that have seen it probably know the one I'm talking about. And
the one with the cop? I didn't like the one with the cop.
Hey, spoilers!
But then...
That cop is like 12, 13 episodes.
Yeah, he's like a whole friggin' season.
Yeah,
but then the show recovers, and the season after that recovers, in my opinion. Not everyone agrees.
I did like when one character, and here's a minor spoiler, but I won't say who, so it won't be that big of a spoiler. One character, the actor, got a job with the Obama campaign, so they killed him.
Yep, that's true.
Like, the actor is like, I'm going to go work for the White House as like a liaison, whatever, and the writers are like, cool, your character just killed himself.
Yep. Like, and it's out of nowhere.
It's out of nowhere. Like, the guy's like, I'm the wacky fun person. And they're like, really? You just slit your throat for no reason, and they're never going to explain it or anything.
Yeah. Well, the whole point was they wanted to have it happen. It was kind of,
Yeah, they kind of wanted it anyway, but yeah. Anyway, good show. House MD. Highly recommend it. It's all the whole thing's on Netflix.
It's like, he looks so concerned right now. No guest appearances for you, bitch.
Yeah, you're never returning to this show. Maybe in a flashback.
Well, it's like the whole Michelle Rodriguez thing on Lost. It's like, oh, I just got a drunk driving ticket. Great, we just shot your character in the face. Get off our show.
So my recommendation is going to be a show that's on FX. I think they just showed a marathon over like last weekend or a weekend before, The Strain. It's a Guillermo del Toro film, and it feels very much like him.
I am sold because Guillermo del Toro is fucking amazing.
It feels like his style throughout it, but it's in a sense another telling of a vampire story. And I will not go near worms ever again.
Is it as good as Vampire Diaries?
I've never seen it.
It you is should probably watch both more and gory them. And less tween drama.
You should watch it.
I'm not knocking tween drama. I'm just saying that's not what Guillermo del Toro does.
No, it is not.
No, it's really kind of cool.
The main character's got a kid, and his parents are getting divorced, and he has to have these touchy-feely things with his kid. It's kind of...
Yeah. I'll say it feels like his other films, it feels like that there is a bunch of history already that you're just going to explore with him.
Yeah.
Like, it's really has a lot of weight to it.
He likes to bring you in like halfway through the Necronomicon and just like deal with it. Like, there's all this shit. I don't have time to explain. Just run with it.
Yeah, and I've been really sold on it. It's a very cool show. It's a very, very interesting take on vampires.
Brian?
I have a lot of pressure. Everyone's looking at me for a recommendation. True. Well, we had a TV thing followed by...
All four of us have said television-related things.
So I feel like I don't want to do a movie thing because we've sort of all jumped on it. But I don't really have anything else going on in my life but TV.
Firefly Convention.
Well, I have games and TV, which, by the way, that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying we've touched...
He's bragging, not complaining, for those of you at home.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, no. All I did all weekend was played... I think 9, 8. I spent about 17 hours playing board games this weekend, and I'm just sad that wasn't.
I spent 12 hours downloading songs off the internet.
Let's see, very similar to my weekend.
Now I get to spend like 6 more hours arranging them into a comprehensive playlist.
Oh, fuck.
Uh-oh.
I never gave you a song. Do shuffle.
That's okay. Not everybody's songs are getting played.
What?
Well, mine is, right?
I am not singing the Arnold Rimmer song. Yes, your song is being played, Katie.
Why would you?
Chris suggested Dare to be Stupid for you, but you're not going
to
be there.
I thought I recommended Dare to be Stupid on my sheet.
No, Chris did Dare to be Stupid. I don't know that you ever gave me a sheet.
I did. I could have swore.
Was yours Play Everything by Journey?
No. I thought I could have swore I put Dare
That's
to be
amazing.
I could have swore I put Dare to be Stupid on mine, too. But that is great.
I'll send it to you.
All right.
Yeah.
He's super excited, I can tell.
Super excited. Yeah. Most song requests were rational enough that they got put in there.
I would just play the entire soundtrack skipped. To the one thing show. The one show.
I put a song in for
Captain
you, Brian.
Hammer.
Now That's What I Call Polka is in there.
Oh, there you go.
In your honor.
And he won't be there. But we're going to FaceTime. I'm just going to wear this around my neck. Like
if
this.
You get internet signal there, you have to get online and text me. Yeah,
you can beard. Be the you can be the proxy like in Arrested Development.
Yeah, you have to get because you have to message me. My phone. I cannot receive texts down there.
I'll wear a hat that just says
USCellular does not go to Jamaica. So USCellular does not go to Jamaica. So you have to email me, GChat me, or send me messages via.
Funny trivia.
Mine will get FaceTime. My phone will get FaceTime.
Yeah, so FaceTime. Yeah, well, excellent. Here we go. You get FaceTime. Yeah, look around. Yes, we have to do that. That'd be the best thing.
The dad sarcastically calls that character Einstein when angry at him one time, and the actor's name is Einstein.
Right. I have a recommendation. I'm going with a show. I don't know if it's good or not yet, but I'm going to recommend it because it's been interesting to watch. We mentioned Leftovers like when it was on week 2 or 3.
I've done this before.
No,
you've said I don't know if it's good yet.
I've watched 9 episodes of it.
And he still doesn't know.
I don't know if the show is going to end anywhere enjoyable, but the characters and the actors and how in the cinematography, everything, all that is really good, and the presentation's amazing. But I don't know if, like, as a whole, but some of the episodes are really, really good.
A couple weeks ago, somebody on my Facebook was like, oh, my God, The Leftovers finally hit that holy shit moment. It's all been worth it so far. Yeah. Is that not
well, yes and no. Some characters have had some amazing moments, and there's been some things. But I don't think they're ever going to – the show is never going to explain what happened, which I think is kind of annoying, or why people vanished. But it's how people are dealing with it's very interesting in the – because, I mean, if 2% of the population lose, society kind of cracks.
Oh, yeah.
And the show's all about the cracks in society when, like, science fails, religion fails, and people don't understand anything. So that element's really cool. But all these crazy – the characters, some of the actors are so good, and it's just some – it's just such an – episodes are so intense. But I don't know if it's overall good.
Be careful what you wish for, because if they give you an explanation, it might be that trees are angry.
Well, exactly.
And you don't want that shit.
And there's kind of, and I get that, and that's not, and exactly, sometimes, a tree did it. But, well, that movie had other problems, too.
It did, but.
But that would have still ruined it. But the quality of the actors and the quality of the storytelling is making it worth watching. And I don't know how much of it you'll enjoy, but you should be able to appreciate it.
It's very artsy-fartsy.
It's not that artsy fartsy because at some point that would offend me as well. It's just well done.
It's well executed. So yeah. It's worth seeing the good execution, even if the show itself isn't.
And
good.
Usually, it's kind of one of those shows where, like, it's an hour long show where Game of Thrones, you kind of 10 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes here.
Yeah.
But then they've had 2 episodes where it's just focused on like one character for the whole episode, and both of those episodes have been phenomenal. Okay. It's you've got depth of the character. It's moved their story forward pretty far. And you got to see a bunch more stuff, and that's been really awesome. And it's just, I think it's worth watching. I don't know if it's going to pay off in the end or make it worth it, but it's HBO and it's good TV.
Sounds good.
Sweet. Hooray.
That's it.
Thanks for listening.
See you all later in September. Yaman.
More chocolate.